Again, the today's daf is daf Ayin Ches as we begin the eighth parak of Ksuvis. The Mishnah begins as follows. It's going to be a lot of details, very, very similar to each case, but let's take it very, very slowly. The Mishnah says, Ha'isha she'nafla lo nechasim ad shelo tis'aris. If a woman, if karkalos or nechasim property has fallen to her, which is a lashon of Yerusha, falls to a woman before she got engaged. When she was single, a Yerusha came to her. So the halacha is that Beis Shammai Omer, Modim Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, they're both in agreement, Shemocheres V'Nosenes V'Kayim. She's able to buy and sell and give and do whatever she wants with these properties. They're fully hers since when she received these properties, she was single at the time, she has full control. So what we're talking about, the Mishnah doesn't tell us and Rashi doesn't tell us either, but the other Rishonim tell us, we're talking about Nichse Muluk. There's Nichse Muluk and there's someone Barzal. We're talking about Nichse Muluk. Nichse Muluk is the property with the Lashon Mulug. I actually looked to the art school for a very good definition of Mulug. Mulug is Lashon of plucking feathers from a chicken or from a bird. So Nichse Mulug means that she has full control of a kinyan. The title is hers. The kinyan of guf is her property. The husband, when they get married, husband gets to pluck the fruit, the peros only. That's Lashon Nichse Mulug. But it's fully hers. The kinyan guf is hers. He just gets to benefit from the peros. So in this situation where the property falls to her, the Nichse Mulug falls to her, so then when she, before she's engaged, she has full rights to buy and sell them. Okay. But then the Rashi tells us it's a case of a nisarsa. So she's single, she gets property, she then gets engaged. So during the engagement, we're not talking about marriage, but during the engagement, she could sell and give away this property as she pleases, and the husband has no control over what she does. Even though normally he gets peros, she's allowed to sell and give away. That's case one. Case two is Nafla la mishinis arsa. She gets engaged, and then the property falls to her. Then she's yoreshes this property. So then we have a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Omrim Timkor, she has the right to sell because it's her property, it's her title. She has the kinyan guf, so she could sell. Similarly, she should also be able to give as well. Beis Hillel Omrim Lo Timkor, she's not allowed to sell because by her selling, the husband loses out on his peros. But they're both in agreement. Elu ve'elu modim she'im mochra v'nasna kaim. But b'dievet, if she sold or if she gave it away, both would agree. Beis Hillel really would agree that it was a good sale. It was a good matana. So again, that's when she was engaged, and then she received the Rusha, where already the moment she has been, she acquired the property, the husband already had some type of kinyan peros on this property, and therefore her ability to sell is limited, at least according to Beis Hillel. And it comes along the Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Amru Chachamim, he quotes from the Chachamim, who said in front of Lefnei Rabbi Gamliel, Ho v'zacha b'isha lo yiska b'nechasim, I don't get the svara here of Beis Shammai. If the husband is going to acquire with Kedushin, he's acquiring the wife, so certainly he's going to acquire the property that comes along with her. If the husband could acquire a human being, such as the woman, certainly all the property he should acquire as well. So he should have full control over this. Why would Beis Shammai say that she's allowed to lechachila sell it? So now this statement the Gemara is going to discuss, it's unclear whether Rabbi Gamliel is only arguing on Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai. Is he saying, Rashi points out already that the Gemara is going to tell us this. Is Rabbi Gamliel saying that Beis Shammai, how are you able to say that she's allowed to lechachila sell this property? He should have full rights to it. But Rabbi Gamliel agrees, b'dievet, if she sold it, it's a good sale. That's one approach. Or are we saying, how could Beis Hillel say, b'dievet, the sale goes through? Even b'dievet, the sale shouldn't go through because he has certain rights to this property. So that the Gemara is going to address how to understand the position of Rabbi Gamliel. Again, it's very confusing. I feel bad. It's your first day of Daf Yomi, but it's a very confusing. All the shaklatari here. Then the response is: so Rabbi Gamliel respond back to the Chachamim. Amr lehem. Rabbi Gamliel says to the Chachamim, Al hachadoshim anu boshim elashatem megalgan alenu asiyishanim. Rabbi Gamliel says, literally, on the new property we're embarrassed by. Literally, so we're concerned with the other case. Rashi says. See Rashi, the first narrow line down, Al Chadashim. Shenaflu lo mishenises. We're concerned with the newest property that she could possibly get, that when she gets married, forget engagement, when she gets married and property falls to her, she gets a Yerusha. Anu Boshim, says Rashi. Ma ro chachamim lomar, So we're going to see later on in the very next case that if she gets married and then gets the property and then she sells it or gives it away, the husband could pull it right back from whoever bought it from her. The husband has full rights. So says Rabbi Gamliel, we're bothered by that case, that the husband has any rights then. Even in the case where you're going to think that the husband has the most rights, we still think that she has the most rights because kinyan guf is hers. So if she's married and then gets the Yerusha, the husband should have no right to take them away from whoever bought it from her. So we think she has the most rights. And you're going back to ask questions about when she's Beirusha, the Yeshenim, the old ones, and you think that he has greater rights than her and he could pull that away and he should prevent her from selling the property? So what's going on is as follows. Rabbi Gamliel thinks, I think what's going on, the Rishon don't explain this way, but there's kinyan and a guf and there's kinyan peros. It's a machlokas we see all over Shas, which is greater, kinyan guf or kinyan peros. She has kinyan guf and he has kinyan peros. So Rabbi Gamliel thinks that kinyan guf beats out kinyan peros. So that means if she gets married and then gets the property where she has kinyan guf, she has full control over everything. And even if she sells it, the husband has no rights to take it away from her. But you chachamim think that when she's engaged, where the husband don't have as much right to her when she's engaged, you think that the husband should have a certain right and prevent her from selling it? That doesn't make any sense. So they're completely opposite extremes. Chachamim think even Be'erison, the husband could prevent it. And Rabbi Gamliel thinks even by Nisuin, she has full rights. So those are the opposite extremes between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. Okay. Now, Mishanisei, this is a third scenario. When she gets married and then she gets the Yerusha, Naflala Mishanisseis, if she gets the Yerusha when she's married, Elu ve'elu modem shimacha v'nasa shabal motzi miyad halakuchos, that everybody agrees if she sells it and she gives it away, that the husband's allowed to take it away from the lakuchos, since he had a certain hand in the property, since it came when they were married and he had not full control, but he had somewhat of control, he could always yank it back from the lakuchos. This is what we said above, that Rabbi Gamliel was bothered by, how is that the case? If she has kinyan guf, how is it right that the husband could go ahead and take it away from whoever bought it from her? So that's scenario three. Case four is, ad shelo nisseis v'nisseis. If she got the property before she was married, which is, and Rashi says, either before engagement or after engagement, and then nisseis. Now, this differs from the first two cases. You're telling me it sounds like the first two cases. The first two cases is only be'erison. If she wasn't engaged and then got engaged, what the status is, or when she was engaged, she got the property, and she's still in the state of erison. This last case is, she received it sometime before marriage. I don't care if it was before erison or after erison, but now she's married. So she received it before Nisuin, and now she's married. What's the halacha? Rabbi Gamliel Omer, imachra v'nas nakayim. If she sells it or she gives it away, she is able, it's a good sale, it's a good matana, because it was fell to her initially when the husband had no rights to her. So unclear whether Chacham seemed to argue here. So comes along Amar Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya Amru lefnei Rabbi Gamliel, that the Chacham said in front of Rabbi Gamliel, Hol v'zacha I b'isha lo yisko v'nechasim. I don't understand what you're saying. When they get married, the husband zocha to her entirely now. She's his property, if you will. So certainly the husband should have full rights of all her actual properties, all the nechasim. So what gives her the right to give anything away, says the Chachamim back to the Rabbi Gamliel. And Amr Lehem, so Rabbi Gamliel says back to the Chachamim now, Al Chadashim Anuboshim. I'm uncomfortable with the most extreme case, not extreme, but the latest case of the newest, that when she's married and the property falls to her after being married, I'm uncomfortable with that case, that I think she should have full rights to sell and buy, give away as she pleases, but you said that the husband can always pull it back. I'm uncomfortable with that because I think she has full rights. But you're asking questions about the older property that fell to her when she was only erison or only single, and you think the husband has greater rights? So again, this is a broader machlokas, who has greater rights, the isha or the baal?
When Rabbi Gamliel says, I'm uncomfortable with the Chadashim, he's talking about a case really the Mishnah didn't directly address, which is that it falls to her after Nisais, and then...
So that was the third case, right? Nafala Mishanisais, where everybody agrees it's a good sale. So that case, Rabbi Gamliel says, I'm most uncomfortable with, because I think even then, even though you would think that the husband would have some more rights after Nisuin, I still think it's her kinyan haguf. She should have some say, and she should sell something, and she should be able to keep it. Husband should have no right. And you're asking me a case of something that fell to her as erison, and then when they get married, the husband has full control over that. I'm very, very uncomfortable with that. She should have full rights. Okay. And then finally, so that's the first four cases. Before we see Rabbi Shimon, the first four cases are, again, the four cases we could think of before Erison, and then they get engaged. After Erison, she gets the property, and they're still engaged. After Nisuin, or before Nisuin, and then they get then they have the Nisuin. Those are the four different scenarios. And there's a machlok is, again, the tension is how much control does he have versus her. Okay. So, finally, in the Mishnah, says, Rabbi Shimon Cholek bein nechasim l'nechasim. He distinguishes between different types of properties. Nechasim hayudum lebal, property that was known to the husband, lo timkar, he's not allowed to sell, v'im machra nasa, but if he does sell and he gives it, batel, it's not a good sale. Now, he doesn't talk about it at all. Is it before engagement, after engagement, before nisun? We don't know those cases. The Gemara might talk about that. And as opposed to she'en miyudun lebal, if they're properties that are not known to the husband at all, lo timkor lechachila, she shouldn't sell them. Ve'im machar v'nasa kain, but if she does, it's a good sale. Since he didn't know about it, his das wasn't there, wasn't part of the nisun, wasn't part of the erusin, he wasn't expecting it. So then, b'dieved, it's a good sale, it's a good matana. And the Gemara is going to explain, not today, but I'm not sure which day, one of the next few days, it's going to explain the position of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so those that's the Mishnah. Again, not an easy Mishnah at all. Again, to my recollection, the rest of most of Ksubas is a bit tricky. We'll see how it goes. So the Gemara says, Maishna Resha de lo pligi, u Maishna Seifa de pligi. So Gemara wants to understand the first two cases of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah is where, when she was single, she had Yerusha come to her, and there's no machlokas. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel hold that she could sell and give away as she pleases. But the second case is when she gets engaged and then the Yerusha comes to her during engagement, then there's Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, whether Lechachila she could sell it. Beis Shammai says Lechachila she can sell, and Beis Hillel says Lechachila she cannot sell. So why is there Machlokas only in the second case but not in the first case? So Amri de Bei Rebbe Yanai, the Beis Medrash Rebbe Yanai, explained, Reisha bezuchusa naflu. The Reisha, where she's completely single, so any Yerusha that comes is in her zuchus. The mazel, the zechus, came because of her. She wasn't attached to anybody. It was clearly her zechus, so she should have full rights to it because it came to her and not to her husband. Seifa b'zechuso naflu, but the seifa, when she's engaged, she's owned by her husband, so it came in his zechus. So then there's a machlokas. B'zechuso naflu, it fell to his zechus exclusively, and therefore there's a machlokas whether she could sell it. Beis Hillel says she can't sell it because it's his zechus. So Gemara asks on this, Im b'zechus nafla, if it's really in his zechus only, ki machu v'nosna amai kayim. So according to Beis Shammai, even if she did sell it or give it away, b'dievet, it shouldn't work. He should always be able to pull it back away. If it's really his zechus, what right does she have to go ahead and take his zechus and sell it off? So Gemara tweaks that explanation of the Seifa, Ella, Reisha v'adai b'zechus nafla. When it comes to the Reisha where she was single, there's no question the Yerusha came about because of her exclusive Zechus because she was single. She wasn't attached to anybody. There's no argument it was her Zechus and therefore she has full rights to this property. Even after she gets engaged, it's still her Zechus. This property is stamped with her Zechus on it. But Naflula as Bezuchus or Naflu. The Seifa, however, Eimar Bezuchusa. We don't know. Now they're attached to each other, at least partially, through engagement, through Kedushin. We don't know if it came because of his zechus. We don't know if it came because of her zechus. Not throughout. Maybe it came because of both their zechusim. So we don't know whose zechus it came about. So lichachila, therefore, it's safek lichachila lo timkor. Lichachila says, Beis Hillel, we shouldn't sell it off. Im machav nasa kain, but b'dievet, if it was sold, so then it is a good sale. So that's how the Gemara explains the machlokas. Now, what the Gemara doesn't explain, which I imagine right now is going through Adam's mind, what's the position of Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai, who holds that she has full rights to sell it, so he's assuming that it's completely her zechus, I assume, that she has the lechachila she could sell it. The Gemara doesn't explain she does Beis Shammai. This Tosfos. Right, because the Gemara's havamina was it came completely in his zechus. That was the first position to explain Beis Hillel. And then the Gemara concludes it's a suffix whose zechus came. But Beis Shammai would come the opposite extreme. Even when they're engaged, it came out in her zechus entirely, and that's why lechachila she's allowed to sell it. That's what I'm guessing his explanation is. I just don't know why that is. In Lamdis, why is it true if they're engaged to each other, why are we viewing it as exclusively her zechus? Okay, just throwing anything in the article there. No, nothing.
It also seems they have a suffix, almost like a sfek. You don't know who's supposed to came in exactly, and especially when they're together, and you have both. There's no one. You can't say it's specifically her or him, for that matter.
So then that's one suffix.
But it's not totally. Is it totally on schus? Isn't machlok is more totally on who has shlita over this?
So that's a great point. It's a very strange gemara. Why is the gemara saying who's a chus? It comes about. It's all about bilus. It's not an issue of zechusim from shemaim. It's an issue of dinim amonos, choshe mishpat halachas. It's a strange thing, zechus, and that's why I'm misunderstanding the word zechus here. That's a very good question. Not much doing back here, unless we're understanding. It might be a discussion of Yerusha. The sugya is in the Yesh Nochlin, how Yerusha works exactly. Does Yerusha work that we're saying the person who dies is being makne over to the Yorshin, or is it kinin mishemayim? So if we're understanding Zechus the way we initially understood it, it's a merit. It was obviously the mazel of her that she was alone, so maybe it's viewing it as shemayim having more of a hand in what's going on. If we're saying zechus doesn't really mean midin shemayim, it means here's zechus in terms of kinyanim. We have zechuyos, zakon lefanov. We have that doesn't mean zechus. It's not a mazel. Yeah, it's a way of saying the shu zochot to it from the mace. So maybe it is all dini choshe mishpat.
Right.
And we're trying to figure out when that mace was mezaket to them as a couple. Is that kinyan going to her because it came about her connection? That was a zechus through her channel. Or since they're now viewed as a couple, as a unit, maybe the zechus from the mace was to be machnet to both of them as a party, or maybe even to the husband, since the husband's going to have more control of the finances. So maybe that's part of the debate here. Maybe it's really meant to be like zachin as opposed to a zechus mishemayim. Maybe it's taller in how to understand Yerusha. Okay, very good. Fine. Now the Gemara on the bottom, the two dots, quotes the opinion of Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Lufnei Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda had said this machlokas about the debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel, that Beis Shammai again held lichachila, in the case of Erison, she gets the Yerusha while she's in Erison, and she's still in Erison, she's allowed to sell it, it's still hers, and Beis Hillel says she can't sell it. And Rabbi Gamliel says, I don't understand this svara, but at first the Chachamim say, rather, the husband through Erison zocha in the wife herself, so certainly he should be zocha in all the property. The objects should be his. So what right does Beis Shammai say she could go ahead and sell off the property? It should be his. So that question, so Ibailu, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda al-Khachila o adiyevit? What was the shaila of Rabbi Yehuda? Was he challenging the position of, again, he wants to know what right she has. It should be fully the husband's. So what right does she have? So is he questioning Beis Shammai, how could she sell a chachila? Or is he questioning Beis Hillel, how come b'di'eved she could sell b'di'eved? So let's look at Rashi to say that clearer than I just said that. Rashi says, al chachila pligi. Does he argue on the chachila? V'amri amai mocheres l'chachila Beis Shammai. Why does Beis Shammai permit her to sell l'chachila? Hol v'zocha be'isha, she irsa, since the husband's zocha and the wife, when they get engaged, lo yischa b'nichseha, is he not also going to be zocha in all the properties? Avab b'dieved moda k'beisila. But he'll agree, b'dieved, if she sells it, he'll agree that it works like Beis Hillel, and like Beis Shammai, it should say, probably. Oh, Dilma adieved nami pligi. Maybe he even argues on the dieved, b'dieved nami pligi, v'abay l'meymar marchabato. He thinks, even according to Beis Hillel, it shouldn't be a good sale. You should have to pull back everything and the entire sale, b'dieved, because the husband zocha and her, certainly he should be zocha in the property, gives her no rights, even b'dieved.
There's no machlokes is the guy with the baal ever.
There's no, this discussion is only with respect to her.
Only, right?
With respect to him, he, I believe, has no rights at all to sell this because it's her kinyan haguf. It's her title. So I don't think it was even a possibility to entertain that he has rights to sell it. He might have rights to sell the peros of the property. That might be a discussion later on, but certainly not the kinyan haguf. So the Gemara asks now, going to the top of Ayin Chesem and Beis, the Gemara brings a raya, Tashma. Ditanya. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amru, the Rabbi Yehuda quotes the debate between Rabbi Gamliel and Chachamim. Amru lefnei Rabbi Gamliel. The Chachamim say to Rabbi Gamliel, hol v'zu ishto, zu machabatel, av zu machabatel. So they say to Rabbi Gamliel, since this is his wife when she's in Arusa, and this is also his wife when she's in Nesua, they're both considered ishto, so just like by Nesuin, if she sells it, it's batel, he always could pull back from the kuchos. So to when she's engaged, when avzu, bachar batel, if she sells it when she's in Arusa, she should also, the sale should also be batel. So that's what the Chachamim say to, is this a question, I guess? Because this is more a position of Rabbi Gamliel. Let's see. So why the Chachamim say this? This is the position, this is a question, right. The Chachamim are saying this to Rabbi Gamliel. I don't understand what the comparison is. Rabbi Gamliel, you brought me a raya from Nesuin. Just because they're both ishtos means that both sales are going to be batel. One's a case of Nesuin, where I guess it's fully his wife and he has full control, and one's a case of Erisin, where she's only partially in his control, which should give... wait, I'm saying the wrong way. Let's see, look at Rashi. Rashi says, top line, Tashma Amar Rabbi Yehuda v'chulei hol v'zu ishto nesua, since this is his wife as marriage, v'zu ishto arusa, and when they're engaged, it's also called his wife. Ma nesua naflalo mishinises, if any property falls to her when she's married, machar batel, kitakasani b'masnisin, then any sale she does is going to be batel because he has full rights to this. Haba motzi v'chulei, continued to Rashi, af zu, so to the case, shenafala kishi arusa, when she's engaged, yeh machar batel, it should also be a cancelled out mechira, vafiu kishi od arusa, even when she's still engaged. So it comes out from here that I'm not sure how this is consistent with our mission, though. It seems to say in the other position.
No,
oh, that is right, yeah. Chum say, if the husband's zochen the wife, he should be zochen all the property, so it shouldn't be a good sale, even b'dieved, it says. That's the right from this. We see even b'dieved in macha batel. So just to finish the conversation before we see the conclusion, and to that says, Amar lo hen, Rabbi Gamliel responds back, al chadoshim anubushim, I'm concerned about the newest property that falls when she's married, she should still have control, even when it's married, when she's married, she should have full control. Al shatem magalgan arlenu es hayishanim, you're giving me a problem on the old ones that felt her when she was single, you think that the husband has full control? That's the debate again, but this presentation tells us, shmamina, dieved kamar shmamina. It's clear from this position, this presentation of the Chachamim, that even b'dieved, the Chachamim are arguing, that if she sells it while Arusa, the whole sale is going to be null and void, like the case of against Beis Hillel, b'dieved, it's no good. Okay. Now the Gemara quotes from a braisa, continuing on this conversation, Tanya Amar Rabbi Chanina ben Akavia, Lo kach hashivin Rabbi Gamliel l'chachamim. That was not the response that Rabbi Gamliel gave over to the Chachamim. Elakach hashivin. The following is how Rabbi Gamliel responded to the Chachamim. Again, the Chachamim wanted to say that the husband has full rights. If the husband has zocha in her, he should certainly be zocha in her property. So what's the response of Rabbi Gamliel? Lo, im amartem b'nesua, if you say by nesuin, shekein baila zaka b'mitziyasa b'maisiyadea b'fars nedarea, if you're going to say, but when they're married, that the husband has full rights to everything, he's zocha in any mitzia that she finds, he's zocha in any of her parnasa she makes, he's zocha that he could be made for her nedarim. So that I understand why, if she sells something also, that he could be mivatel the mechira. But tomor, is that to say kerberusa? Are you going to extend that when she's engaged that he has full rights also? She'ain b'ilo zakai lo b'mitziyasa. He's not zocha in her mitzios. He's not zocha either in her actions, in her parnasa, v'loba fars nadar, nor does he have full rights over fars nadar. So that's the response of Rabbi Gamliel, that there's a very big difference between Nesuin and Erisin.
So he's conceding Nesuin in this case, as opposed to being uncomfortable with Nesuin.
Exactly. Now he says Nesuin, okay, at least in the world of Chachamim, he might personally have a problem with it. I knew Boshim, he's uncomfortable, but he's willing to exactly concede. I think even the Mishnah was like that way. He never argued. Didn't say in the Mishnah that by Nesuin, Rabbi Gamliel argued. He was just bothered by that. But I think this says it clear. And just by the way, Bafars Nedarim, Rashi points out this case, Lo Bafars Nedareha, that he has no rights as an Erusin to be made for her Nedarim, Levado, on his own, Ela Imke Navio Imo, the Tanan Avio Bailo Mefir Nedare, the Mishnah Nedarim, that they have to do it together. But that's only by a Nara, right, by Nara Murasa, when she's a Nara, that's the case. When she's older than a Nara, when she's a Gedola, then the husband has, the father rather, has no rights. So, either way, there's a big difference between Nisun and Erusin. So Amru Lo, so the Chachamim respond back to Rabbi Gamliel, Rebbe, Machra La, Achalut L'Nisais. So, I have a Girsa there, hold on a second. It should be, the word La is taken away. Okay? Again, Amru Lo, Rebbe, Machra, Achalut L'Nisais. If she sells it before she gets married, so Rashi explains, what does this mean? Amru Lo, Rebbe, Machra, Achalut L'Nisais, Niren, Dvarecha, B'mocheres, Be'od Arusa. We agree with you that if she sells it while she's in Arusa, so then it's a good sale. I agree she has full rights. That word we don't argue with at all. But Niseis v'charkach machomahu. But let's say she gets married and then sells it. So Rashi talks about a case here. Niseis v'charkach machra nichasim shenafula kodem nisun mahu. What are you going to say when she got the property before she gets married? And now she gets married, so does the property transfer ownership over to the husband and she has no rights to do this anymore? Or since when it initially fell to her, it was hers exclusively, maybe even after marriage, she's allowed to sell it off. What would you say there? So again, if it's something that fell to her when she's married, Nisuin, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Gamliel, although he's uncomfortable, everybody agrees she cannot sell it if it falls to her when she's married. If it's something that fell to her when she was engaged and she's still engaged, even the Chachamim agree that it's a good sale, b'di'evit. The question becomes, it fell to her before marriage, and now she gets married, what's the halacha? So Amar Lahu, Rabbi Gamliel says, Afzu mocheres v'nosenes v'kayim. I think she has full rights to sell and to give away, and it's good. So Amar Lo, so to that respond the Chachamim, Hol v'zocha b'isha lo yischa b'nechasim. I don't understand your statement, Rav Gamliel. Since the husband, through Nisuin, is zochen her, certainly he should be zochen all her property as well, because those are all secondary to her. So Amar Lehem, Rav Gamliel responds back, Al hachadashim anu boshim. So I'm uncomfortable even with that case, even with the case further than that, that fell to when she's married and then she gets Yerusha. I'm uncomfortable with that case, but I'm not willing to argue, even though I'm uncomfortable with it. But you're bringing me a question from the old property that she had before Nisun, and you're telling me it's going to transfer during Nisun? That's a big, big kasha. So that's, again, it's very repetitive, but it's a different presentation of this debate.
Well, it sounds like, according to this explanation, that the Rabbanan are willing to concede a little bit of ground by the case of
Erusin.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the point where the new presentation adds on, but the rest of it was pretty repetitive. So on this asks the Gemara, V'ha'anan Tanam, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Ad shlo niseis, if she got property before she got married, v'niseis, and then she gets married, Rebbe Gamliel Omer, im machra v'nas nakayim, that's what he says. I guess it doesn't say that anybody argues, is that the question? It says b'di'eved, that im machrov nasakayim. We just said, according to the last brisa, that he has lichachila. He says, where's the line here? Mocheres v'nosenes lichachila. If it's property from before nisun, and now they get married, lichachila, she could sell them off. But our Mishnah says only im machrov nasa then kaim. But lichachila, it sounds like she's not allowed to do this. So I'm Rav Zvid Tani Mocheres V'Nosenes V'Kayim. Rav Zvid changed the gear. So what the mission meant to say, and it should have said, is that L'Chachila, she's allowed to sell, she's allowed to give it away, and it will be good, consistent with the price that we just saw. Then the Gemara says, Rav Papa Amar Lo Kasher. Rav Papa says, not true. Don't change any gear sauce. Our price is different than our Mishnah. Lo Kasher. Ha Rabbi Yehuda Aliba de Rav Gamliel. Ha Rabbi Chanina Ben Akavya Aliba de Rav Gamliel. There's a machlokus to know what Rabbi Gamliel really held. One thinks, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah thinks he held only b'di'eved. Is it a good sale in our very case? And Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya thought, l'chachila, Rabbi Gamliel thought even l'chachila, you're allowed to sell off the property that came to her before marriage and after marriage, she could l'chachila sell it. So that's machlokus, what exactly Rabbi Gamliel held. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya kibei Shammai. So that doesn't make any sense. how could Rabbi Hanina be working with the in the world of Rabbi Gamliel? He apparently holds like Beis Shammai. Oh, so that's the question. Look at Rashi. You see Rashi around 15 line, narrow lines up? Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya damar kaman ki Beis Shammai. So are we saying that Rabbi Hanina b'tmiya, says Rashi, d'ha Beis Hillel afilu b'mocheres b'erisin amri l'chachila lo. Vim ba lokeach lebezdin limloch amrin alei lo tizven. Koshkei mishinises. We always hold like Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel says, even Be'arusa, Lichachila, you shouldn't sell. And if you ask Bezdin, Bezdin's going to tell you, don't sell it. And here Rabbi Gamliel says, even by Nesu'in, you're allowed to Lichachila sell. Does he hold like Beis Shammai? Certainly not. We never hold like Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, no. What's meant to say is as follows. Hachi Kamar. Lo nechlaku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al davarze. This is not a debate between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel at all. Rather what? Rashi says, lo nechlaku ella Lidchachila Timkor. So what's he saying? In the case of Nesu'in?
It sounds like the case of Arison.
So we're saying Arison.
That Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai would actually...
So by Arison, he's arguing on the Mishnah. He's a Tana himself. So he says, when the Mishnah presented us as saying there's a machlogis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel by the case of Arison, Rabbi Hanina bar Akiva thought that even in the case of Arison, there's no machlokas. Everybody agrees lichachila. And even by the case of Nesu'in as well, the Rabbi Gamliel holds lichachila, one's allowed to sell it, lefi Beis Shammai and lefi Beis Hillel. Okay. Again, very, very confusing. The Gemara now says, Rav Ushmuel Damir Tevayo. Now, both of them are of the opinion, Bein shenafalo nechasa mishinis arsa v'nises habal v'nises Habal motzi miyad lakuchos. Did I skip a line there? Wait a second. Did I? Yeah, I think so. Bein shenafalo nechasim achil nisarsa. Bein shenafalo nechasim mishin nisarsa. V'nises. Regardless of when she received the property, as long as it was sometime before marriage, she may have been engaged or she may have been single at the time, but she got the property sometime before marriage, and then she gets married later on, and then she sells it or gives it away, the Baal has full rights to take away these lakuchos. So this is the position of Rav and Shmuel, Kiman, who do they hold like? Delok Rabbi Yehuda, Delok Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya. He does not hold like either one of them. Why not? So let's work backwards. At least according to Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya, because he says, lechachila, you always have to sell it even after marriage, so the husband has no rights. According to Rabbi Yehuda held, if it came before marriage, and then they got married, he thought that Rabbi Gamliel held b'di'evet, it's a good sale. B'di'evet, it's a good sale. For her to sell, right. So here this says that he, even if she sells a b'di'evet, he could always take it away. So we see Rav and Shmuel hold like neither one of those opinions, neither like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Akiva, Hanina ben Akavya. So who do they hold like?
Dafkin and Rabbi Gamliel, what did they both say that? What would the Chachamim hold in that case?
Well, that's what Gemara is about to say, I think. Now, Inu Damu Kirabuseinu. Is that Chachamim or a different Rabbi saying? Let's see. Rashi doesn't explain. My head's not able to go through all these different positions.
Let's see. Bringing up a Tisefta now.
I don't know if Rabbi saying is
Chachamim.
It's a different...
I mean, our Mishnah didn't outright bring the Chachamim in that case. But it's Mestaber that Chachamim would hold in that case. The Baal has certain additional koach. There are the Chacham's position is that the Baal has more koach.
Correct.
Than we're giving him credit for, right? Because she's already like in his rishos.
Right.
And then we only bring Rabbi Gamliel by the case of when it falls Arison and then Mishanises.
Correct.
So the Mishnah doesn't say what the Chacham say there, but you can almost imply that the Chacham would. Possibly, you could possibly see a side where they would take issue with Rabbi Gamliel.
You probably figure it out. Probably go through the details. You probably get there.
It's not. There's no hechrik that the Chachamim argue Rabbi Gamliel.
Shitasa, you're saying. Mistama, he would say that.
Those Chachamim were just questioning the logic. They weren't really coming. They weren't saying we disagree. They just had questions. But now this is now later Chachamim.
Okay, interesting. So the Chachamim are not even a shita.
Yeah.
They're just there playing devil's advocate. So we have shitas based Hillel based Shammai and then Rabbi Gamliel. Chum are just trying to bring out the position of Rabbi Gamliel, but they don't take a side. Now the side is if it's not Rabbi Hanina and it's not it's not Rabbi Yehuda, so who are they like? And that's Rabbi Hoseinu. So this might be the Chachamim who are questioning Rabbi Gamliel's position, but they don't really take a side, at least in the Mishnah. So who does Rav and Shmuel follow like? Who do they follow like? Inuk, the Amri, Kirboseinu, they hold like Rabboseinu. Who are Rabboseinu? The Tanya, the Tosefta tells us, the Brisa says, Rabboseinu chazru v'nimnu, they went back and they got their nimnu, they counted and figured out a conclusion among themselves. They said, Bein shenaflula adshlo tisaris, Bein shenaflula mishin isarisa v'nises, whether or not she received the property before she was engaged and she was still single, or she received the property after becoming engaged and then she gets married and then she sells it. Habal motzi miyad halakuchos. The husband has full rights to take off halakuchos. The problem was Rav and Shmuel are Amorim. They can't go against Tanayim. So before we had Rabbi Seinu, we had no one who really said this way between Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Gamliel. No one said that way until we dug up this brayse here that says Rabbi Seinu said across the board after marriage, any sale after marriage, the husband gets to keep. Now, if it's something that she received during marriage and then sold it, that our Mishnah already said she has no rights to do that. The husband could pull that away. But this is even property that she had before marriage and then got married. Rabbi Hussein would say you could pull that away as well.
Did ever bring a raya l'gavah gittin? Like the opposite extreme? Let's say they were to get divorced right then. And then go back and say who's...
If she sold it while being married and then they get divorced, does he have rights to pull it away then?
Right.
I'm not sure. I would guess he does have rights because at the time of sale, it was his.
That was the machlekes. Is it his or not?
Right. But if you hold that he's allowed to pull it away when they're married, to lechora after engaged, right?
Of course he is.
But if you're saying
according to what's his name, to Hananya
Rechinim ben Akavya,
who's saying that the ma'isa she has full shlita on her.
So then it'd be pasha that if she sold it and then got divorced, it would be a good sale. Certainly for what...
It would be a good sale, but whose mom, that mumminess would belong to both of them. You looked at it, it belonged to both at that point. No?
But when she sells it, she gets the property, she gets to keep the money that she sold it for. The husband happens to lose out on any payros, he just doesn't get the benefits, but the sale goes fully to her, all the money. It's her title. I don't think there's any compensation for him that he loses out all the payros. I don't think.
Okay.
Okay, then the Gemara says, Mishunitse is Elav Elam Modim. Now, once they get married, and then she gets the property after being married, everybody agrees that if she does sell it, that the property goes, that the husband could always take the property back. Lema tanina la takanas usha. We're going to suggest that there's a Mishnah that supports takanas usha. Takanas usha, the Gemara's in, we saw it here a little bit, and the Gemara's in Baba Kama talk about all the takanas ushas. But one of the takanas ushas are Da'amar Rabbi Yossi Berbichanina, Be'usha, Hiskinu, in this place called Usha, they made the following takana. Ha'isha shemacha b'nichse melug b'chaye baila u'mesa habal motzi miyad lekuchos. So if a woman sells a nichse melug, which is what we're talking about, where she has the title, but he gets to benefit from the fruit. So if she sells it while her husband's alive, and then she dies, the husband could always pull back those lekuchos. That was tekanas usha. So it doesn't make any sense. What was the tekanas usha? If this is already a Mishnah, halacha that's found in the Mishnah, why did usha make a tekana that repeats, that replicates the Mishnah, the Mishnah? Tekanas usha came after the Mishnah. So obviously that can happen. So there must be a difference between tekanas usha and our Mishnah about the husband having the rights to pull away any nechasim that she may have sold.
But our Mishnah is very narrow because we're saying it by the case of where it fell, naflua mishanises, and then she sold it. Could be the case of, you could say that the case of Usha is talking about even if it came from before.
That's what Tosus asks. Look at Tosus, Dibra Maskel, Lema Tanina L'Takanas Usha. Tosus says, Tema, what's the question? L'Rabbeinu Yitzchak, V'ha Takanas Usha, Havi Afilu B'naflu Lo, Min Ha'erisin, it's even property that came when she was engaged, Okodim, even before that, Kinemash B'Vachobel. Whereas Baba Kama tells us that, the Kamar Hasam Tani Chada Avdi Malug Yotzim B'Shein V'Ayin L'Isha Avalo L'Ish V'Tani. I'm going to go through quickly just to get through the point here. Just go to the end, last line of Tosos Yesh Lomar the Belav Haki Meshan Leishaper. Okay, you're right. It could have given an answer, but it had another answer. It had in mind, but great question. So either way, so why was there a need for the Tekanas Usha seemingly to repeat that which is found in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says there are two different scenarios. The Mishnah Masnisin explains the Gemara Masnisin is a case b'chayeha uleperos. It's during her lifetime and only selling her peros. That b'chayeha the husband's allowed to take them back during her lifetime. Right, b'chayeha. I guess what would the implication be about the Mishnah? Look at Rashi. Rashi says Masnisin b'chayeha kamar habal motzi. Husband could take back the property during her life. In order to eat fruit while she's alive. Well, Acher Mosa, after she dies, then Yachzer Karka Lokech, then it shoots back to the person, the Lokech, the one who bought it from her. It's very limited, his ability to have the fruit. Vafil Mesa Bechayev, even if she dies during his life, Lo Yeshen Habal, even though normally there's Yushas Habal, the husband is Yorish, his wife, in this case not. V'as Usha, before we read Rashi, let's go back to the Gemara now. The Gemara says, what's Takanas Usha though? Takanas Usha is Begufa Shakarka Ul Acher Misa. That if she sells the actual property, the title, that he has full rights to get back after she dies.
Get back so
she,
what? The land?
The land. The land goes, because he's Yorisher. So that's what Rashi explained, the last line of that Rashi, which we didn't read yet. V'asa ba'usha v'takan da'fila ba'gufa shakarka yorish ha'bal. The husband's yorish it.
It's batal, the mechir is batal?
Mechir is batal, exactly. So the concept of usha is, even though midaraisa, it's a good sale, and the husband can't yorish something that was sold already, usha is masakin, based on hefker, whatever mechanism they're using, that the usha's ba'al, even though it didn't come yet, could come in and sweep away and take that property away that was sold rightfully. He has the right. Yerusha Zabal is overriding that sale that already happened in the past. How the mechanism works, you have to see the Gemara's in Baba Kama, but that's what Takanas Usha adds on. So again, the Mishnah says if she sells it, any property that she got when she was married, and she sells off, he could always take it back to eat the fruit, and the buyer eventually gets it once the wife dies. Takanas Usha says, even if she sold it to somebody else, after she dies, the husband has full rights, full title of that property. So in essence,
it's interesting what he brought up. I got the tesis, because that could be from Be'erzin. That could be...
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Everything. This whole Mishnah right now, because Usha is Oka, the entire Mishnah.
Right.
But the fact we didn't say that, it's Mashmal Halacha, that's not what happened. I mean, Tosis says they could have answered that, but the fact they didn't, I don't know if we could assume that's what the Takana Usha does.
We'll see. We didn't read the whole Tosa, but from what I think he seems to prove here.
Oh, we brought Raya from Gemara. So.
Yeah, all the Gemara's by Makana. The Gemara by Makana really takes a lot of time talking about these dinim. So there, I think it's clear is that it's really pretty much okay, this Mishnah. Okay. Now the Gemara takes the, analyze the last idea of the. What?
We wasted our morning.
So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Cholek Bein Nechasim. The Gemara quotes the last opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said, it depends on the property. If it was property that was a Yadua, it was known to the husband. So that's a property that anything she sells, he could always take back because he was quite aware of it. And I guess he got married with Das Das. But if it's a property that he was unaware of, Nechachila, she should not sell. But if she does sell it, then it's a good sale. So the Gemara wants to know, what is a considered a Yadua, what's not Yadua? Elohein Yaduin, Ve'elohein Shein Yaduin. Am Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Yaduin Mikarkai, Shein Yaduin Mitatol. And we see throughout Shas this type of concept. Property, land, rather, Lakarka land, is something that is Yadu. Everybody knows about it. When someone buys a house, when a house goes up for sale, everybody knows about it. So that the husband's going to be aware of any property that's going to be in her title. But if it's something that's metalton, movable objects, people don't know about everyone's personal properties, movable objects, that's not Yadua to him, and the sale that she make would be a good sale. That's according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Eilav Eilu Yadun. No, not true. Everybody knows everyone else's business. Everyone knows everyone's personal property. You know what kind of bikes your neighbor has. Everything everybody knows, that's all considered Yadun. So Eilu Hain Sheinu Yadun was an example of something that's not known to the husband. Kol Sheyosheves Kan. It's a situation where she's sitting in one country and overseas a relative of hers dies and she's Yorish that property, which is not going to make it over to her in some time or maybe never make it over to her. That's property that's not Yadu at all to her, to her husband or to anybody else. Tani Nami Hachid is a brisa that says the same idea. Elu hein chein yaduin kol she yosheves kan v'nafla la nechasim b'medinas hayam. That's the very example again. Something that where she's sitting in one country and property falls to her from another country, that's considered not known to her husband, and the sale b'diavad would be a good sale. Okay, should we stop here? Does this next piece go further? Let's see. Seems like a involved story. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here. Shkoyach.
This opinion of Reb Shimon, is he cholek on the